Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Table Talk. I'm here at the table with my daughter, Madison.
Hi.
And we are going to talk through just what we found that compelled us from the verse Psalm 119, 114 to go define more. So I'm just going to open us up in prayer, and then Madison, I'm going to let you start after I pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask that the Holy Spirit reveal to us what you want us to be impacted by today through your word. It's in your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, so when I was first looking at Psalms 119, 114, the first word, I'll read it first. It says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." The first word that popped out to me was hiding place. And so do you want to go ahead and like define it and everything right
sure,
now?
Sure. Okay. Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
As I was looking, I couldn't put hiding place in just Webster Dictionary. That's two words. And so I actually separated them out, which was interesting. So I put hiding in there. Just the regular dictionary definition says to put out of sight, to conceal for shelter or protection. It's like, okay. That protection word was interesting to me. And then I looked up place, and obviously that's just a physical environment or a space. So I'm already thinking, you know, putting them together, hiding place, it's a space, out of sight, concealing for shelter or protection, just from Webster Dictionary. So then I went to my study Bible, which is an NIV study Bible, and looked at the verse and see if it popped up with anything. And it was talking about the hiding place being a place of safety and security. And so when I looked on Bible Hub for, you know, the Greek word study of it, it was talking about this idea of a covering or even like a sanctuary where it's like a secret place that you're kept close. And so I envision this like proximity when it's talking about you are my hiding place, not a bad hiding place like, oh, I'm in trouble and I'm scared to death, so let me hide away from you, but a hiding place. You are my hiding place. So when I feel scared, I run to you. Of course, this you being God. So God being this space that is covering me, is keeping me close, safe, secure. And then I heard the word, you know, that word sanctuary is just this, you know, safe, secure place. So I loved that word popping out, and it made a lot of sense in that verse context of God being our protection, our shelter, our secret hiding place.
Yes. When I looked it up as well in Bible Hub, it said it was from the Hebrew word like sitri, or it said sathar. And yes, exactly similar to what you have just said are things that I found as well. I'm going to focus on the word shield. I looked up shield, and first just in the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and I use the app, and I just typed in shield, and it says a broad piece of defense armor carried on the arm or often on the chest, something or someone who protects or defends, a barrier, a protective cover. So that's just from the dictionary. And I totally understood how that relates in this scripture. But then I went to the Bible Hub and typed in shield. You can either type in the word and just go directly to the lexicon, or you can actually put in the verse, Psalm 119, 114, and then choose lexicon from there. but it took me to the Hebrew word G-A-N-A-N, so I'm going to say Ganan, and it says it means defender or scaly hide of the crocodile. And I was like, what? So I went down a hole, we call it like the rabbit hole. I just followed all this about scaly hide of the crocodile. And I'm going to show Maddie, but y'all are going to have to look it up for yourself. But on my phone, I have a picture of Roman back in AD where they actually made their helmet and their full front shoulder back protective armor shield with the skin of a crocodile. So if y'all don't believe me, go type that into Google and look it up. And then some other things I was just looking up was like why the scientific material of a crocodile was armor worthy. Mm-hmm. And it's actually talking about the durability, the strength, the resistance. It says it's not totally bulletproof, but it would have been one of the closest things to being partially almost bulletproof. Mm-hmm. So we're talking against spears or swords. You know, the weapons of those time periods, that it would have been crafted in such a way on the crocodile that it would be purposeful for a military example of an armor. And then it even said that there's examples of it in Rome, in the British Museum. And I'm like, no way. So in that, I was just thinking about, well, first of all, who created the crocodile? Mm-hmm. God. And the fact that he knew these people would be put into situations and circumstances where they needed a physical mm-hmm. shield and armor. Mm-hmm. He gave them something. And it's talking about how the polygonal shapes, and I mean, you can just go in this big deep dive about the scales of a crocodile. And it's like he gave them something physical that they could use and put on with purpose of protection. Mm-hmm. And then he basically told them, I am that for you. Mm-hmm. And just like you said, a hiding place not to run away, but to. Mm-hmm. I loved that when you said that. So then I'm thinking, and here he's saying, okay, you know how I gave you that animal for you to take and put on mm-hmm. to armor yourself with that for protection? He's like, because he talks in word pictures and images that those people of that day and time and us of this day and time can still, we have that imagery.
Right.
He's like, put me on. Mm-hmm. I'm not just shielding you like I'm in front of you. I want to be over you. Mm-hmm. I want you to put me on. So I was just like mind blown with that imagery of, especially the Google picture, of literally the helmet,
right.
Breastplate,
shoulders.
Ooh, let's see, what does that remind you of? The armor of God. And I thought, wow, here's the thing. All from one verse in the Bible, looking at isolated words within that verse to make it more impactful, powerful. Sometimes I think we just read the word to read it. Mm-hmm. Like there's nothing wrong with that verse to begin with. It's amazing. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. But now just from what Maddie said, you are my run to safety. Mm-hmm. You are my put on as a barrier, God.
Yeah.
That's what he is.
Yeah. That added to what you said, and the picture specifically added to what I thought, because I saw that, but I did not deep dive into that. That's not what I was interested in. And I was like, I know what a shield is. Yes. And so I went, you know, and looked up other things.
Yes.
And my picture of the shield was a very, like, Captain America, like, just
circle.
Traditional, you wear it on your arm, which is not wrong, because it's still a defense, protector, cover.
Yes.
But one of my spiritual definitions that came out was this hedge around and surrounding, which didn't exactly make sense with my just picture in my head, but then that idea of you're literally putting the skin and scales of a crocodile all over you, added to my understanding of this idea of shield covering you.
Yes.
You know, he's protecting all of you, not just your arm.
Yeah.
Because that way, you are actually the one controlling the shield.
Oh, that's good.
And when he's put it on your whole body, he's got you.
Yes.
It's not like you can run away from that shield or put it in the wrong place. So that,
makes me think more of how they go together even better. Clothed in him as our shield, we are in him as our hiding place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We're not hiding behind, like you said, we're not hiding behind Captain America's shield. We are within his shield in hiding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's, I hope you listen to this and are prompted, compelled to go find your own verse. It does not have to be Psalm 119:114. That is the one we are offering you for these next few weeks to go along with us. But if you're already reading through a book in the Bible, like maybe you're reading James, find a verse in there that goes right along with what you're already studying. But please pray, Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to me and allow yourself to be taken on a journey to dig deeper into His Word.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go down everything I found out about it, but another word, a word that I looked up was hope.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Maddie, you want to share just another word you researched more, but don't give it away.
I researched the word word.
So, okay.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yes, please, please be compelled to prayerfully look more. And now we're going to give you a few tips of what you can do after you write the verse down. Find some words that are just jumping off the page to you, pulling you in, looking them up first in the dictionary and then somehow in a study Bible, in a commentary, use Bible Hub, Blue Letter Bible, anything that is going to give you the spiritual Greek, Hebrew, something deeper and spiritual. That's the main thing that we want you to go from just the dictionary definition to a spiritual definition. But here's something else you can go to. And I'm going to let Maddie kick this one off because literally I know if you asked her about this process, this is one of her favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just called being centered in the biblical context. So I'm going to let her take it away with some things that feel free to add this to what you're already deep diving into.
Yeah, so the biblical context of a verse or a chapter is uniquely important, and I personally love the information gained from it. It's basically who wrote it, who wrote that specific verse. In Psalms, what we're doing is there's lots of different authors that write the Psalms, so you have to be intentional of what verse and what chapter you are in. Who wrote it? Who did they write it to? Researching that will give you insight onto why is this important? Why is it included in the Bible? Who is it talking to? You can look at when it was written, where it was written. You know, who are these people that they're talking about? Where did they live? Look up the maps. And then why did they write it? Or what's the theme? Sometimes you'll hear that word. What's the theme when you're looking up? So what I like to do is I have a study Bible, and at the beginning of every new book of the Bible, it will give you these answers of who wrote it, why did they write it, when, where. Sometimes they don't know, and it's just best guess, and sometimes they have it like totally down. And then whatever excites you or ignites, I had to go on a little journey with this specific verse, with the author and some interesting things about that. So please look into that. But if you don't have a study Bible, you can look up on Bible Hub. It will say summary, like S-U-M, and will give you a summary and answer a lot of these questions. And then what's the other?
Book study.
Book study that you can look up.
Under summary, click on book study. Just type in whatever book of the Bible it is. Like earlier I'd said James, or here type in Psalm. Like Madison said, go to summary. If you're on your phone, mobile, it'll be S-U-M. And then once summary comes up, it'll offer you book study. And it will basically walk you through those questions and more. It'll be like key characters and, you know, different things that took place.
Yeah. I would advise you when you're even looking up these words with the definitions or these answers, it can be very, you look it up and you get the answer and you write it down. Mm. And that is good. But stop and think about it. Mm-hmm. Like when you're looking up your words, how I had to look up hiding and then place. Mm-hmm. And then I thought about how those could go together. Do the same thing. Try to pray. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit can give you things, excitement over a certain aspect of it. Maybe you're really excited about who it was written to, and you can mm-hmm. actually look up that group of people in more depth, or where, yeah. maybe where, and the map and looking up pictures of where it is, gives you information. You're like, whoa, I know where that is today. And that's exciting. Yeah. And what does this actually look like? And we've seen some of those ruins or yeah. something like that. Yeah. Don't just stop with your answer yeah. that was given to you by somebody else or another resource. If yeah. it's exciting to you and interesting to you, keep going and dig as far as you want.
The whole point of what we're doing at this stage is like knowledge and comprehension. It is. But in education, because Maddie and I are both educators, we don't want it to be what's termed the push and puke. The push and puke is where you just shove information into a child. You hope they puke it back out on a test or a quiz, but that it resonates nowhere in them. Mm-hmm. It literally is the teacher pushed it in, the child puked it out, done. We want it to be, and especially when it's biblical word study, we want it to be where it's sought by you, it's brought in by the Spirit, and like Madison says, it almost, you mull it around, you meditate on it, you absorb it, and because later, keep mm-hmm. listening on Mondays, because later it's going to be, then how can we apply that? And if all you're doing is push and puke, then when it's like, but how are you going to apply that? You're going to be like, apply what? Mm-hmm. I used to teach first grade, and we would do fluency tests. And it was basically how many words in a minute the child could read, reading it from not a word list, but like a story context. So then you would have this kid read, you'd say, begin, and they like, a bunny ran into the woods and the bunny saw the word. And then you stop and you're like, wow, you count up, wow, they read 112 words per minute. That's amazing. Then you have to do the comprehension check. So what was the animal? And they're like, what animal? Okay, I'll give you it was a bunny. What did the bunny see? I don't know. So you realize they read fast.
Yeah.
They didn't keep mm-hmm. any of the information they were puking out to me anywhere in their brain.
Right.
They were just doing it to be doing it. So what Madison loves to remind people is slow down mm-hmm. when you're doing any type of a biblical study. It's not a race. It's not a test. No one's keeping score or keeping points. Mm-hmm. So if you start looking at a word, one word out of your verse, and you sit on that and you keep looking and looking and looking and looking up crocodile skins and, like she said, looking up a map or what war took place or what was the people group? How did they eat? I mean, sit in it. Yeah. Sit in it for a week.
Yeah. That's what made the biggest difference for me when I started really studying the Bible and digging. My goal now is not to do certain things and go to certain resources to like answer these questions. Mm. But it is for me, because I do take notes in a journal, as I'm writing down the answers to these questions, my goal is to get excited about something. Mm. So then without my journal or notebook, whatever you have that you've written these things in, if you can leave that at your house and you can walk down the road and 2 days later a word or a song or someone ask you about something and you can share that because it is in your heart, it is in your head, and you have soaked it up to where you don't have to look back at your resource. That's my goal.
Yeah.
I have hidden it in my heart.
Yes.
I have it in there so that I know anytime I ever see Hiding Place again,
yeah,
I know exactly what that means.
Yeah.
I've soaked it in. I've meditated on it. I will never forget that.
Yeah.
And when someone says, well, have you ever heard about Psalms 119? I know exactly what chapter of the book of the Bible that is, why it's important, who wrote that book. It's in here. It's going to be in here forever. When my preacher talks about something, I'm going to say, oh, I know about that. Mm-hmm. I've studied that.
Mm-hmm.
So slowing down helps me meditate to where it's in my bones. I've got it. I'm not letting it go.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be my hope, is that you're doing these steps, you're excited about something, but 2 weeks from now, don't forget it.
Yeah.
You've soaked it up so much. It's in there. And when you hear this verse again or a verse similar to it, you're going to go, ding, I studied that.
Yeah.
I know exactly what those words mean. That's the goal.
Yeah,
the goal isn't just to fly through.
That's what I was going to say. Maddie and I were up at church last night with a small group that we meet with, and we were talking about another chapter in the Bible, another topic altogether. It's actually about rest. And something that was said at the table, she and I and another lady kind of look at each other and we're like, that's our verse we're mapping.
Yeah.
Psalm 119, 114.
Yeah.
You are my hiding place, my shield, my hope is in your word. I mean, that's what we want. Is it's called internalizing it. Like Maddie said, sit in it and sit with it and keep digging until the Holy Spirit allows you to internalize it and understand it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But we're gonna stop there today. So what we've left you with is, if you haven't completed defining words that jumped out to you, please do that. And then look into the who wrote it, why it was written, for whom it was written to, the theme of it, the literary style. If you're like, I don't know what that means, go up and research and look up the different biblical literary styles in the Bible. There's letters, there's poetry, there's books of the law. I'm not going to give that all away either, but just look into that if you don't already know that the books are in different style categories. But that's what we're going to leave you with today. And please tune in next Monday when we give you the next step for you to get involved with God's Word and let it change you. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.